Welcome everybody to High Tech on the Low, episode 105. Dotan, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very, very good. Thank you for asking. I'm very excited to have Dotan Asselman, CTO and co-founder of Theator, here in the building, in the episode. And as always, we are sponsored by Front Team and JB Upscale with 3,000 members and your dedicated marketing team all looking to connect. And as always, if you like what you hear today, please give us a like, subscribe, view, follow, whatever. We always appreciate it. And Dotan, today we're going to get into the interesting world of operating rooms, saving lives, healthcare, and how you guys are really revolutionizing that whole space and basically telling us a lot of new things about our bodies and our health recovery process in the process. I guess that was a lot of processes in one kind of word. But anyways, so Dotan, why don't you give me a little introduction to who you are and what Theator even is?
All right, so my name is Dotan. I live in Tel Aviv. My background is more in the technological area. I started as a computer vision engineer and researcher in IDF intelligence. In Theator, we use computer vision to help improve surgical care.
Oh, wow. Okay. So when you're saying computer vision to help like surgical care, what are you visioning basically? What is the computer visioning, you know?
Yeah. So
I know that was like totally not technical for this technical guy in the room, but like, you know, helping everyone else out here who may not understand what that means.
Yeah. So I think computer vision and like in AI in general is the enabler in this process.
Okay.
But we started with like we trying to understand the problem.
Okay.
And
what's the problem right now?
And the problem that we identify, and I think like later we understood that it's only the symptom, and not the, like you see in healthcare.
Yeah.
So we saw a problem that there is huge variability in surgical care.
Okay.
So you can like take for an example, like take the same patient with a very simple, he has a
appendectomy
for
okay,
example.
Okay. Sure.
Like multiply it by two and go to like send him to do two different surgeons, you will okay. get a completely different surgery.
So you mean like if I went, let's say I had appendicitis or something like that, right? And I went to, let's say, I don't know, one hospital in New York and then another hospital in California and had two different doctors, both with like equal levels of training in a sense, I would get two different surgeries, two different recovery processes.
Exactly.
And are you serious? Like today? Like that's how it works?
It can also be in New York. It can also be like this, in the same department. This is how amazing.
In the same hospital.
In the same hospital.
Wow. Okay.
So you see that there is like completely different approach to surgery, even in the most simple cases. And this is coming from the way that surgery is being taught and performed until now. And
okay.
You see that surgery, and I think it's like very much related to like everything in medicine, is not a model that you only learn from your own experience and the experience of the mentor that brought you in.
So it's not objective in that sense. It's very like subjective. Like if you have a good mentor, basically you'll probably get a lot of insight and talent and experience. But if you have someone who's maybe less good, which there are, you know, you can basically have a worse
experience.
Yeah,
and they all can be good. They just have different approaches. If you look at like surgery for like 400 years, these differences of like almost zero horizontal knowledge transfer and like mostly transfer between vertical, between different generations, lead to completely different approaches.
So there's like no standard surgery process for anything.
There is no standardization in surgery.
Wow.
And like in order to like to understand.
That's stunning. I feel like you're making no one want to go to the hospital.
So,
like, you know,
I think when you're trying to understand that when I entered like this, like just like learning about healthcare, I learned about like the term that maybe some of you like heard about it called evidence-based medicine.
Okay, what is that?
And this is like the notion of saying we will like give it specific treatment based on evidence, based on like a study, the peer-reviewed study that shows like if you do that, this is the results. If you do otherwise, this is like you get a like, better result or less good results. This is why you need to do that.
Sure.
And the fact that this is the very strong and like upcoming like trend in healthcare in the last like several years, mm-hmm. and like as an engineer and researcher, like just hearing that, I was like really surprised. Like, why doesn't it called medicine?
Right. Okay.
And we see that there are
why is it just not called medicine?
Yeah,
why do you need evidence based? Like, shouldn't it already be medicine?
I think like the fact that evidence based medicine, like as a term, exists, like say more
about
medicine than it says about
100%. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like people that don't understand it, and it doesn't necessarily bad, but you treat the way you like other would like before you treat it, and like in a lot of cases it works, but there are like just like no growing number of examples of like trying to enter like more scientific approach to a healthcare.
Sure.
And this is doing it by studies.
Okay.
So in surgery, this is like surgery is a bit behind with that. And in surgery, we see ourselves as the company that brings evidence-based medicine to surgery. We call it surgical intelligence.
Okay.
This is a data-driven approach.
Are you guys giving insights to the surgeon, or are you giving it to the hospital, to the department? Who are you giving it to?
It's both. I mean, it's like in the end, the surgeon needs to understand like that one approach is better than other, and also to implement it.
Okay.
But the way that we are selling it to the entire system.
Okay.
And we're helping the system to understand, like they have variability problems, and they also have the areas that they see that they are below benchmarks in state-wise, in the entire system. And they want to find a way to tackle that.
Okay.
And we find the evidence. We find like this, like if you do like those like five things, those we call those best practices, evidence-based best practices.
Sure.
If you do those, we can like, there are proofs that can show that you can reduce complication rates, reduce time in OR, reduce all of the things that they care about that are like in terms of surgical outcomes.
And what are you guys evaluating when you guys are actually doing this? Like, what does your like technology actually do? Is it like looking at how they're cutting? Is it looking at looking at a lot of data points? What's going on?
Yeah, so I think it's all about, we call it like the triangle, and it's like the one like the important thing. You need to understand who is the patient, like not the specific name, but the patient characteristic that entered the OR.
Okay.
What were the decisions that have been made there? Like what's the, like what happened? What are the steps, events, key milestones, everything? What happened during surgery? And then what was the results? What were the outcome?
Okay.
If you have this like this trio in a large scale, you can start to understand, you can do correlations. Like you can start understanding, okay, like for this kind of patient, those decisions leads to this outcome. And this
type of patient, this one does
exactly
the next thing. Okay.
And like this is like in the heart of like evidence-based medicine to surgery, or what we call surgical intelligence. It's like the field that we entered and started in
surgical
in
intelligence. I like that. It sounds super like military matrixy, you know what I mean? But it's like, you know, totally medical. I love it. But like, so the surgical intelligence, are you guys using video? Are you guys using, robotics? What's going on?
Yeah, so I think it's going back to my background in computer vision. I think the
missing... your background also isn't medicine. It's computer vision, and you got into medicine, right?
I wasn't from medicine before theater.
Okay.
Tamir, my co-founder, is...
He brought you in as the technical mind?
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
Going back to like why computer vision matters in that sense, now today, and this is like the maybe like the biggest revolution in surgery, and like I mean, I'm saying like it's not something like that happened last year, it happened like the last like 30 years.
Sure. Okay.
It's a minimal invasive surgery. It's
okay,
like most of the surgery today is being done using visual guidance, meaning cameras.
Okay.
So if you like, we took the example of appendectomy
sure.
today can almost will never be done without camera. Instead of doing open surgery, open the entire body, cut the appendix and closing, this can lead to like weeks, even to like 2 months of recovery.
Okay.
Instead, the minimal invasive approach means that you only like poke like few holes in the body. You have one that you are like pushing a camera and it's like
the main one in a sense. Like,
yeah, like the
sure.
camera. This is the only input for the surgeon, because the surgeon is doing the surgery on a monitor.
Sure.
And like the two other like holes is like for instruments, and
sure.
you have like another, like the fourth one is like for maintenance. Like you need to pull the organ.
Okay, and
somehow.
It's not like that huge thing what you think back in like ER days, right? Where they're like, you know, opening up the hole and like just kind of pulling you open in a sense.
Exactly.
There's like
exactly.
a few little points, that's it.
And this is
little.
Most of surgery today.
Okay.
And this like leads to like better recovery, like much faster recovery, obviously, like less risk to get like any other like risks of getting like inflammation, like everything that's
infections,
like,
whatever.
Infections, exactly.
Yeah.
So like this is not our revolution, obviously,
sure.
but the fact like this is the opportunity. This is the fact that now cameras are entered, and this is the only input. that is like relevant, and then all of the decisions that I talked about are being captured by this camera, and then like connected to this, like the fact that technology has advanced tremendously, like especially computer vision, AI space in the last few years. It's finally the time that it's possible to do this trio that I talked about, to connect like what, like who's the patient that entered the OR. This is already in the medical record. It's
right.
Like structured for years. What happened during surgery? And this is what, like where our technology, this our core technology enters, and what were the outcome?
Well, that's interesting too, because it seems like basically without this evolution in surgery, you guys would not be able to do what you're doing today, right? Because if you didn't have the camera in the operating room like that, what would you have? You wouldn't be able to do the analysis.
Exactly.
Or would you? I don't know.
Exactly. You needed to like to enter the cameras, and it's like it's not won't be like feasible. We also like did try to do some like open surgery analysis and like something interesting.
Are they also using video or
so
not?
It's like very rare. Look, you don't need the one thing that in minimal invasive that you need a video in order to perform the surgery. It's
okay.
Like you're dependent on it, so you know that it will be there.
Okay.
In open surgery, you're like you're doing your surgery, but people can put like cameras in the room.
Okay.
Like the, most of the things that like, you're usually seeing like the back of the head
right.
of the surgeon like operating.
Yeah.
So like you're lacking crucial information to
you're missing like
really
the nuances, the
exactly.
actual deep kind of vision, I guess, is what you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. Like, but the good part for us is like most of surgery today is minimal invasive. If you look at general surgery, it's like more than 90% of the volume.
Sure.
Urology, it's 100%. Gynecology, except of like Caesar section, all of surgery in gynecology is minimal invasive. So it's like taking over many, many fields.
Oh, that's interesting. I feel like we don't really know that. Like a lot of people probably just like kind of laymen don't really know that, you know, surgery isn't really that invasive these days, right? You know, it's kind of just minimally so. Now, I also kind of want to know, you know, obviously hospital, big world, there's a lot of stuff going on. And one of the things people always say is that hospitals are like, you know, for people who are getting, I guess, you know, healthy, they're also, you know, hotbeds of sickness, right? You know, infections, what is it? Are they hospital infecting something? I forgot the name exact word, but you know, how do you guys account for that? Because obviously, like, you know, whatever's happening in surgery and my, I guess, predisposition, genetics, whatever it is, you know, part of the whole situation. But how do you account for the stuff in a sense that you can't control, which is like the fact that like the cleaner decided to pick his nose and like leave it right, you know, next to you or something like that?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's like, I think this is something that is really important to understand, like about like surgery. It's like surgery is about decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we are like can impact the most. It's
okay.
Like how can we, like what are the right decisions? This is the one thing that we bothered with. A lot of like, and I think this is very common, you see people thinking about surgery as a technical capability. Like
right.
If you, like you,
100%. It's, yeah.
If you have like someone that's like it's a good surgeon, he has very delicate hands. He knows how he or she can
very
like,
precise.
Know, like,
yeah.
Really very precise.
Yeah.
But it's not about that. Like you can be precise. It's nice. This is easy to learn. This
right.
is like the dexterity is easy to learn. The one thing that like make the difference between like a great surgeon and like an okay one
right.
and a mediocre one is the decision making.
Okay.
And I think this is like why it's like the differences are so unique. Because
sure.
if it was like one way to do surgery,
right.
like someone will put it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
The differences are like how you react to the situation that you are seeing
right.
During surgery. So this is what we are capturing. You and this is connected like exactly to your question. You're saying like the human body is like there is like variability in
right.
different patients.
Right.
So like and we are trying to capture how to react to those. Like what's like not the right way to react to that, those. Because
do they have like an earpiece? Does the surgeon have like an earpiece? You're like saying no, move, make a right, do this incision here, or is it less like that? Or is it
no,
more
yeah,
afterwards?
Not yet. We are not interrupting surgery today.
Okay.
Like most like due to like regulatory reasons, we are looking at like in the aggregate. We're looking at like in the more of like high level.
Sure.
But seeing like helping the surgeons to implement the things that we know like in like this specific situation. If you do that, like exactly like this best practice, if you do that, you have like reducing risk in like 50%.
Right.
And like before surgery, we remind that. After surgery, we also like saying like you did it or not. And like in the like more of the like the high level, like weekly, the monthly, like this like looking at aggregative and like trend information.
So it's more like awareness and kind of learning about it now and being able to like kind of like, I guess, aggregate data and then put that in the mind of the surgeon and say, okay, now you're going to go out there. This is how you're going to deal with this now, this time.
It's sense. I think like in a code, it's like about standardization. This is exactly like we are going back to the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
We are standardizing surgical care in this specific organization. The organization decided these are the like the 10 things that they have to do.
Okay.
And the problem was like, they said, my problem is variability. And I'm saying like, it's not variability, it's standardization. You're doing things completely different, so right. You have different results. Let's standardize, and like this is the thing that they want to standardize.
Interesting.
And we bring also like the evidence that those things will impact the thing that they care about.
So you're standardizing medicine in a sense. That's what you're selling, basically, like the standard of surgical care.
Yes, we see like our like sweet spot, like a client or like customer will be in healthcare system that have like, let's say, like 5 different like hospitals. One is like performing like really well.
Right.
It's like, this is like the brand of the
and the other one's the crap, system. Right?
Yeah. And the other like in between, and like the one that like you just like see that like it's a huge difference,
right,
like between everything else. We help to level the playing field. We help like everyone like to act like in the same manner of the others. Like this is what we are selling.
So how have like your clients, let's say that you have clients, I'm assuming right now, right? Yes. So how have they like reacted to when you come to them and kind of propose this system to them? Are they generally pretty receptive? Do they have a lot of pushback? What's the general kind of take?
Yeah, so it's a challenge. I think it's mostly, it's depending of like, there are like different personas that we need to sell to.
Okay.
Selling to admin for us in like in this position is easier. It's like it took us a while to get there.
Okay.
Because like we only like in the last year started to understand ourselves and,
right,
and be able to explain how we demonstrate this value. How we, okay, demonstrate like, okay, we standardize the department, we're reducing your like complication rates. How this like impact your bottom line,
right,
anyway, because this is what admins,
right,
care about.
And you're making money at the end of the day, right? You know, it's a business.
It needs to be a business. Even if you are we are about myself and Tamir, we are like impact driven entrepreneurs.
Right.
We are not like not here for the money, but
right,
if there is no alignment with the money, you won't make the impact.
Right. Then you're gonna sit in an office space and do nothing all day, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So like this is like something that we are getting better in like demonstrating. The thing is that we had like to break a wall there, because hospital, this is like something amazing, like it really amazed me,
sure,
that they have like very good understanding of their outcomes. They
hospital admin, basically?
Hospital admins.
Yeah.
They are measuring their outcomes,
okay,
for like the last like decades,
sure,
and more. And they have zero belief that they can change those. So like this, like
of course they do though. It's such a dated system in that sense. You know, you're almost like proving it right now with what you're saying in the whole evidence based medicine versus medicine. It's like, of course the admin, they're like, yeah, we know our results, but we're not going to change anything. You know, that's it.
Yeah, because like people told them like, if you will measure your like your outcomes,
yeah,
they will improve. And it's like something that like people believe in. Like you start to measure something, it's like it's starting,
right,
to improve.
Right.
And it didn't. Like they have like, you're going to the system, there's like the 5 hospital system, and they know like one is like amazing and one sucks. And it's like, I knew it like 5 years ago.
Right. And this is how it is.
And yeah. I know that it's like, could be the same next year.
Okay.
So
wow, that's kind of concerning. That's like actually concerning for me as like just a person who goes to the hospital to hear like the admin being like, yeah, we know this one's crap, but you know, we're not gonna do anything about it. You know.
And I think that, so like this is what we like need to like help them to learn, and that's like what they need to believe in a way that they are, even though they are measuring the results, they are not measuring the right things.
Okay.
And this is what we like, this is the unique approach that we are bringing, is that we are starting to like, there are controlled actions and there are things that are not in your control, and
uh-huh,
like outcomes are not directly in your control. I'll give,
right,
you an example. If you have like one of the outcomes, like more of like a soft outcome, is a surgeon, like let's say like surgeon being slower than others.
Sure.
So if you tell a surgeon you are slower than others, it doesn't make them like make him faster.
Right.
But there are things that are in control. If you tell like, if you like, you are doing like this approach of like,
let's like say, this like specific step in the surgery is too long, but
like
this one could be,
you are, yeah, doing like in this step, you're doing like staple line reinforcement, like that's something nobody needs to understand, like staple line reinforcement in like this, in the one specific approach,
right,
others with the same results doing it a different approach, it takes you 10 minutes to do that, other like because they are doing other approach,
it takes 2 minutes, like, right,
yeah, yeah, like 30,
right,
seconds,
right.
So you can switch to this approach and then you will get faster, and the surgeon does have control on how to do the step align reinforcement, for example.
Right.
But it doesn't have control. Like, okay, like I'm slow. What can I do
right,
with that?
Right, right, right.
So, and this is, I think this is the, like the mistake that like the, in a way that the like hospitals are doing when like measuring only outcomes.
Right.
And not the processes that led to the outcomes. And this is what we are bringing. We are
interesting. But isn't that kind of like almost a different than most ways nowadays how people are looking at data? Because most people are saying like, let's look at the outcomes to then infer from the top a little bit.
If you know? Have if you have a team of analysts,
yeah,
for sure. If you can if you can do like if okay. someone can look at the outcomes and they just like go back and try to analyze, but they were missing one, like the one missing piece that they like missing, like what happened during surgery. I know the outcomes. I have zero like understanding of like what happened in the OR.
Okay.
And finally we can bring that, but nobody can be like going to watch the 6 hours long video.
I get you.
You need to like get it in a more of like digested way. And this is like, I think the, like the proxy that sure. we are measuring that actually impact.
So when you also like, let's say, went to investors and tried to pitch this idea to them, how did they take it at first? Because I imagine like for someone who's in the healthcare space, they probably like the idea in theory, but like again, it's probably this dated approach of like, well, can you really change the system? But how was it in kind of going to these investors and approaching them with this idea of standardizing the medical system, specifically surgery practices? How was it?
Yeah, you think like we knew that this is what we are doing when we started.
Well,
it's like,
well there you go. So I guess it took you a little bit of time to figure out that iteration.
I remember like before starting theater, I said we said we are not starting this journey before we are talking with at least 100 surgeons.
Okay.
And like now, like 4 years, like after, like I realized that we didn't talk with like one buyer persona because we talked with 100 surgeons, but they are not our, like they are our users, okay. definitely, but they are not our customers. And like it took us like years, I think, to realize that.
That's great perseverance on your end. You know, I'm going to tell you that.
It was in different phases, like it went differently, but like I think. VCs and like investors understand that there is like huge potential. Like healthcare is like a very big market.
Right.
It needs to be revolutionized. There are like so many areas that healthcare can improve. And there is also like when we see like surgery specifically, there is a like it's a very big market.
Right.
And then the question is, how can we impact that this market? And we like everyone understand like there is a problem, and this problem. Worth a lot of money.
Right.
It's also worth a lot of people's right. life, but also like has money, like economic implications.
Right.
So we needed to like figure out the way in. In the vision of the company, we are helping this like in those decisions.
Right.
Like doing surgery, like let's do avoidance instead of like feedback. And then it's the holy grail of standardization, right? Mm-hmm. If you can impact during surgery, and like we started by like showing this vision, the way in was to be the ones that first collect this information. And this is something that I told you like in the last 30 years.
Oh, 1 second.
We turned it off.
I know we turned it off.
For sure.
I know. Just make the note.
Yeah.
It's okay. I saw it happening and I knew it. Okay, go ahead. It's all good. You're good. We can start again.
So I told you that in the last 30 years, surgery is done in camera.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that those procedures are being recorded. And this is also a huge difference. Because
but you also found that opportunity, it sounds like. You actually jumped in at this moment where you kind of said, okay, wait, this is the opportunity. Like, it's... like almost like we can figure out what we're selling later in a sense, but the opportunity is no one's paying attention to this exact thing. Like no one's actually paying attention to this data point, right?
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like.
I think, yeah, we know, like we are always like navigating to like product market fit, and like it's like different circles, and like it's refining. But from the beginning, we knew that this like, the fact that we are collecting this unique information,
right.
There is so much potential in like impacting care by collecting this information.
It's amazing. No one else was doing it before. I have to be honest. Like it's like that the hospitals didn't even think to do it themselves is amazing. Like you know because like that's just data that you're missing out on.
It's just data that like you're throwing away. And it's like everyone knows that operative reports is like the ones that like being written after surgery are not representative at all to what happened during surgery. Not for a bad reason. It's like just like templates.
No,
and
for
like,
sure.
So you just like there is so much information that you're just missing and throwing away.
Wow.
Well, I remember like when like pitching like in the beginning, like think like comparing it to like CT and MRI. Like you see like right. like people like taking MRI, writing the diagnosis, and just like then like throwing away the paper, the scanning. Like who cares right. about the scanning? I have my text.
Okay.
So this is what we are doing with surgery. This is like today what being done in like most surgery in. Hospitals that are like not our customers right. basically.
Well, I mean really there's this kind of, you know, I guess both really, you know, hopeful thing that you guys are doing, which is trying to give more data points in that sense and understand what's actually going on. But it's almost kind of concerning that this is like what's going on in the medical system for so long, and even today, that like, you know, we really don't understand surgery to this level, and it's like it's really concerning. But I'm glad that we have people like you out there who are at least trying to make a difference. Now, you know, it's interesting, we're getting towards the end of the episode here, and I want to kind of ask, because you brought this really great thing about how it took you many years to kind of figure out who you're selling to, and it took you all this time to figure out what you're really getting at, right? Which I think is, you know, hard to deal with as an entrepreneur, right? Because you're having to deal with the fact that you don't know necessarily what you're doing, and there's probably a lot of ups and downs in the middle. But, you know, one of the questions I kind of have for you is, how would you advise other entrepreneurs in your path, you know, in not necessarily in medicine, but like, you know, in your growth path, you know, from zero to startup success in a sense, and having customers, how would you advise them to kind of keep on the path, especially when there are so many, you know, uncertainties, there are things that are unclear, especially things that you have to kind of figure out as you go along, and you won't necessarily figure out day one when you open the LLC. So like, how does it work from your perspective? What's your advice?
It's like a tough advice, like how to navigate a product market fit. I think one of the things like personally I remember about myself, about us in the beginning, that we were, and we didn't like frame it that way, but now I can admit we were afraid to ask the hard questions in a way that we didn't want to get the answers to. And this is like something that we like, you like always need to think about, like try to be like, when you're doing validation for any concept, like for a company, for a specific product, for a go-to-market strategy, don't do validation. Just like do invalidation. Like try to kill your idea.
Right.
Like do your best to kill your idea. If you like haven't succeeded to kill your idea, it's a good idea. Like you can move forward. Like you can continue. Don't try to find the evidence that says that like your idea is good. Don't pitch your idea and ask for opinions. Because one, I think, very good and like very short book that I recommend called The Mom Test, and it's exactly about how can you, when you are getting feedback, reducing like the bias of people just trying to be nice,
right,
to you. And I wish I would like read it before starting. Starting theater, I think it will like save us time in the beginning in the navigation process. But it's like in some cases, like there are things that you need to know, but it's more of like personal work. Just don't don't be afraid in a way to like do like. Hear the things that you don't like, you are like you don't want to hear, and those.
Right, and it doesn't mean anything about you necessarily. Yes. It actually helps. I like that. Dotan, thank you so much for being on the show. I think it's a really interesting discussion about the whole world of medicine and what you guys are doing at the Edor. And I really, guys, you know, I wish you guys a lot of success and continued work in this space. It sounds like we need it, so appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks awesome. For having me.